Outreach. Somebody say the word outreach. And share the gospel. Pray with people at the car. Ask them if they've got any questions. And if nothing else, just say, God bless you. Glad to have you. And just give people a place to be on a night that's dedicated to the devil. Amen. And so thank the Lord for that. We're just claiming that territory. Amen. Claiming that territory. So tonight we're in the series of I Choose. And we've covered I Choose Prayer. And these are choices that we have to make. These are choices I choose to believe. Amen. That's not, I haven't preached that yet, but between me and the pastor, we're going to hit that, I'm sure. I choose joy. I just choose the joy of the Lord. I choose trust. I choose worship. I choose my attitude. Now, that's when I preached 2 weeks ago. My attitude. Pastor preached last week on I choose to meditate on the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen? And so one of the greatest choices that you'll ever need to make and have to make is the choice to forgive. And so tonight, I choose to forgive. It is a choice. Now, there's many scriptures we could use tonight, but I want you to stand and turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're actually going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer as the foundation for the message tonight. I believe a year or so ago, we preached through the Lord's Prayer here in the church. But the Lord's Prayer is something that can be preached on and studied till the end of all ages, because there's so much to glean. Truly, our Lord put together the DNA of prayer, of all prayer, the mother of all prayer. It can be tied to the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer can be prayed in the pattern way. You know, the first part of worship, the second part of submission, the third part of petition, the last part of praise. That's a pattern of the prayer. Or you can play it word for word. Either way that you pray it, pray the Lord's Prayer. And I understand that we call it the Believer's Prayer and things like that. But I still, the classic, I'd like to say the old dog, new tricks. You know, I was raised on the King James Version, and I was raised on the classic way. And by the way, I love other versions of the Bible. I quote from other versions, so I'm not King James only by any stretch of the imagination. But I will tell you that you can just say the Lord's Prayer, or pray the Lord's Prayer. And I was praying the other morning, and the thought came into my mind, you cannot go wrong in your life if you pray the Lord's Prayer. So pray it literally, word for word, over your children, over our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Pray it, say it, pray the pattern of it, pray the words of it, get the Lord's Prayer into your life. You see, when I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, some of the classical churches that were non-Pentecostal were liturgic, and another word is their services were dead and dry, no power, and they would all recite the Lord. Like if you go to a non-Pentecostal church, a lot of times they would recite the Lord's Prayer, and there was a deadness to it. And so we Pentecostals were like, well, we don't want to get bogged down in form and tradition. And it's almost like we threw the Lord's Prayer out. And so I want us to bring the Lord's Prayer back in. So that's a good introduction. But let's pray the prayer together. Ready? After this manner, pray you. Everybody together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everybody, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see him tonight. I choose to forgive. You cannot fail if you pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want us to look at this in two parts. If we go to verse 12, Matthew 6 and 12, and forgive us our debts. So the part one is forgive us. And then part two is as we forgive our debtors. Actually, the better translation is trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Both words are correct. And so you can't have one without the other. You can't say, forgive me of my sins, without saying, help me, Lord, to forgive others of their sins against me. You've got to have both. They're inextricably linked. And so, first of all, we want to talk about forgiveness experienced. And then the second part is forgiveness extended. Let me say that again. How many of you have experienced God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness? Not only should we experience God's forgiveness, but we should extend His forgiveness and His mercy. So number one, point one tonight is forgiveness experienced. Forgive us our debts. Isn't that something that the Lord in the DNA of prayer put in there, a prayer for forgiveness? And the truth of the matter is that He wasn't going to give it if we didn't need it. Can you say amen? And I want you to know that we all need forgiveness. First of all, we need forgiveness for the past. Somebody say the past. We all have things we shouldn't have done, skeletons in our closet. There is a past. Like Scrooge and Charles Dickens' book, A Christmas Carol, The Ghost of Christmas Past. We all have a past. But I want you to know that the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my sins were washed away. And I don't care what your past has or what you've done and what you did in college, what you did as a teenager, what you did before you were married, before you became a Christian. You might have been a drug dealer. You may have been a lying, cheating, rascal, liar, murderer, adulterer, fornicator. I don't care what you were. You might have been a self-righteous gossip in the Sunday school class. I don't care what your past was. My Lord has forgiven you. The blood, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be like wool. Thank God in the past, He has washed away my sins. And you know what God did with the sins of the past? Psalm 103 and 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions. He did not say as far as the north is from the south. Listen to this. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, not the north from the south. Because if you go north, you'll go south, but then you'll go north again. Or if you go south, you'll go north, then you'll go south again. But if you go east, you'll never go west. And if you go west, you'll never go east. So as far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our transgressions. He put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. A little boy just couldn't understand how God could do that and was asking his mother how God could totally forget his sins. Forgive and forget. And his mother said, son, when the teacher writes something on the chalkboard and then erases it, where are the words? And the little boy brightened up his eyes and said, Mama, I got it. They're nowhere. Amen? And our sins, praise God, are nowhere. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise that your sins are gone? Amen. You run into somebody you used to party with down at college. Don't let that embarrass you. You're different today. You're saved. You're redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. I'm so glad my sins are gone from the past. Say amen. Amen. But what about today? I went to work today. You went to work today. You are in a real world today. Now, I know God's forgiven me of the past, but you know what? I still deal with sin and sinful temptation in the present. I just want to see who didn't agree with that, because I wanted to see your halo. I was looking for halos. I was afraid somebody might like say, no, I don't deal with sin. The attitude you just had proves that you've got sin you're dealing with. You just don't know it. Amen. You see, because we've been saved, washed, and even sanctified, let me tell you something. We still need to pray this prayer. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is a prayer. Jesus said, after this manner pray you. The Lord's prayer is in the present. It is in the now. We still need to say this prayer. I don't understand how people can say that if you're a true Christian, you won't ever sin. Then why was this put in the model prayer? It is something that we need to pray daily. I don't care how much you've been taught Sunday school, how much you're sanctified, if you're a deacon or an usher. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And we need to be aware of our sinfulness. We shouldn't be afraid of our sinfulness, because we're not to walk into sin. There are two extremes. There are people who are afraid of their sinfulness. They are all the time afraid they're going to say something wrong, do something wrong, almost to a point of bondage. And then there's not being afraid of our sinfulness, but being aware of our sinfulness. There are those who think they are above sin. I don't sin. I'll never make a mistake. But my friend, that's why we have this prayer. We need to be aware of our sinfulness. We don't need to be afraid of our sinfulness. And we don't need to think we're above our sinfulness. We need to pray, "Lord, forgive us this day. Forgive us our trespasses and our sins." Can you say amen? Julian of Norwich was a 14th century Christian mystic. She had a great fear of losing her salvation. In fact, of her sins caused her a great deal of stress. She had anxiety because she wasn't secure about her future. And one day she was walking through the woods and she saw an acorn and she picked up the tiny acorn. She held it in her hand and she wrapped her hand around that acorn and she thought how secure the acorn was in her hand. Then she realized if that acorn was secure in her hand, how secure was her life and her eternity and her future in the hands of God? From that point on, she had security and it removed the doubts of her salvation. I'll tell you, He'll forgive us of the past. Say amen. He forgives us in the present. Say amen. He forgives us in the future. Can you say amen? Did you know scientists cannot explain the sneeze? Did you know scientists cannot figure out why homing pigeons can find their way back before Earth satellites and GPSs? Scientists cannot figure out how the sun or moon looks larger at different times of the day. They cannot tell why the moon looks larger at certain times and certain positions. But I'll tell you something else that can't be explained. Not the homing pigeon or not the sneeze, but something else that can't be explained is the love and the grace of God. It is far above us. He is an all-loving, compassionate, continual. The Bible says the mercies of God. 43 times the Bible says the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. 43 times. You've got more than a month's worth of claiming the mercy. Say it with me. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Grace is, hallelujah, experienced. Look at Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. We ought to celebrate His mercy upon our life and forgiven us of our debts. Thank you for washing them in your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that when I stumble and fall, you don't throw the clay away. You pick us up and mold us again into the potter hand. Thank you, Lord, for the continual flow of your mercy. I'm not on a tightrope. And if I am on a tightrope, there's a net down there that'll catch me called God's amazing grace. Why don't we celebrate? He has forgiven us of our debts. You know what debt is? Debt means you owe. But then there's the debts that you owe that you cannot repay and cannot ever repay unless something changes. Debt is a terrible thing. And the corresponding word is trespasses. Trespasses means that don't go any further. And you crossed the line. You went over the boundary. And yet, instead of God sending out a watchdog to chew you up, He sent out his amazing grace when you asked him to forgive you of your trespasses and your debts. Your debts are paid. They're paid in full. Don't you love it when you pay something off? Don't you love it when you get the title in your hand? Don't you love it when the debts are released? Aren't you glad that that feeling of, man, the weight and the burden is gone? I am free. And Lord, forgive us our debts. It is forgiveness experienced. And let's say amen to that tonight. And then not only is there forgiveness experience, because I wanted to really get that in your mind. I want you to really feel like that, man, God has forgiven me. I want you to really feel special. I want you to really feel good. I want you to really feel happy. I want you to really feel the joy of the Lord. I want you to just realize how wonderful it is to have God to forgive you. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Jude, the benediction, now to him that's able to present you faultless. What a wonderful and amazing and precious saving God that we have. When Jesus looked, boy, I just got a sermon series idea, Pastor. How many times in the New Testament did he say, thy sins be forgiven thee? I'd love to go through everyone and preach a sermon on it. Thy sins be forgiven to thee, the guy that was come down with the through the roof. You know, thy sins be forgiven to thee, the woman who ministered to you. The different times. But aren't you glad he looked at you and is looking at you and saying, thy sins, which are many, have been forgiven you. Say amen tonight. Amen. Now that we all feel good, and now that we all have experienced grace and forgiveness, now let's go to the other side. Not only forgiveness experienced, but let's talk about number two. I choose to forgive others because God has forgiven me. Say that with me. I choose to forgive others as God has forgiven me. Now let's talk about point two. Not only forgiveness experienced, but number two, forgiveness extended. Extended. Because it says, forgive us our debts. What's the rest of it? Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not only forgiveness experienced, but forgiveness extended. Matthew chapter 6 verse 14 through 15 adds more to this. Notice in Matthew chapter 6 verse 14. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Uh-oh. This takes it on another level. Look at verse 15, just to be clear. Because if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This thing of forgiveness is to be extended. Say amen. I don't have time to go into the parable, but Matthew chapter 18, Peter comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody? Somebody who's wronged me. Seven times? You know what Jesus said? He said 70 times seven. See, Peter is adding, but Jesus is multiplying. Amen? And we need to multiply forgiveness. 70 times seven. He wasn't literally saying 490 times. He was just saying, you forgive as much as I have forgiven you. Isn't that great tonight? And then he told about the parable of the man. And I'm going to put it in the 2018 rendition. The parable of the king, the man who owed the king something like $10 million. And the man begged the king for forgiveness. And the king forgave him. But then the forgiven man went out and found someone that owed him like $20. And he beat him up and said, you need to pay me back. Now just remember, he'd just been forgiven $10 million. And now he's hitting somebody upside the head for 20 bucks. And when the king found out about it, it's the Ricky Nelms translation. You ought to buy it. I'd make a lot of money if I put it out to the bookstore there. I went to the bookstore Monday. I had a gift card for my birthday. I finally used it. And then this Pastor Appreciation. And I was like, oh, glory. So I got some stuff for Pastor Appreciations for at the bookstore. But, you know, and I saw those translations of the Bible. It's what made me think of it. But listen to this. The king found out about it, and he drug him back in. He said, listen, go to Matthew 18:34. And his Lord was wroth. He delivered him to the tormentors, truly should pay all that was due him. So likewise, my heavenly Father will do to you if from your heart you do not forgive everyone, brother, their trespasses. The pastor says it perfectly. Don't let somebody else's, don't let your happiness be in somebody else's head, and you will be tormented. It will affect you physically if you do not extend forgiveness. Just move on. I didn't say it was easy, and I didn't say it wasn't a process. Because I'm telling you, there's some things people have done to me in my life that were just absolutely wrong. And in the moment, my feelers would get stirred up, and I would choose to forgive. And then I'd have to tell my body and my emotions, I just made a choice, and I fall in line. But I'm so glad the Holy Spirit would come and help me. And I can't really hold unforgiveness too long because the Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance. And he would gently remind us, not to condemn us, but gently remind us, did not I forgive you, blah, 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 blah. We've got to walk humbly with our God. We've got to be careful how we judge people. We've got to be careful how we talk about people. And we got to be careful how we interpret people's and the way things. You may not know the full story. You may not know everything. We should forgive because he has forgiven us. We should forgive. I'm going to give you three things here. We should forgive. We should choose to forgive because of the atonement of Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Why should we forgive? Because of the atonement. By the way, the word atonement means you are that there's a guilty party. And there's a retribution that needs to be paid, and somebody makes the payment. It's atoned. Your sins are atoned through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's called atonement. All right, Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, blah, 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 blah. You know the scripture, atonement. In fact, somebody said atonement can be understood like this, at one ment. Because it was through his grace that we are at one with Christ, through the atonement. Somebody say the word atonement, amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And since God chose you, I'm reading from the NLT, by the way. Since God chose you to be a holy people, he loves, you must, go to verse 13. You must make allowances for, I love this in the NLT, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So forgive others because of what the Lord has done for you. The atonement. He died for you. He bled for you. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Forgive others. Choose to forgive because of the atonement of Christ and the price that he paid. Say amen. I'm coming to a close fast on this sermon tonight. Pastor, you might get to preach a little bit in the altar call tonight. Since we don't get to preach Sunday, we'll give you a 2-for-1 tonight. Who's preaching Sunday? Sister Patsy Jones is preaching, and then the J Stone Singers are singing Sunday night. So be here for both services. Then, not only should we forgive because of the atonement of Christ, we should, number two, forgive because of the advantage of Satan. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. To whom you forgave anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Look at verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Are you hearing that? The scripture tells us that if we don't choose to forgive, Satan can get an advantage over us. Oh, I don't want Satan to have an advantage over me. I don't want to give any place to the devil. And I'll tell you that unforgiveness has done more damage to revival, has more damage to the move of God, more damage to the growth of the kingdom than Hollywood, than the radical gay agenda, than the worst movie that's ever been produced. I'll tell you that ISIS, terrorists, 9/11, Osama bin Laden, the radical gay agenda, the abortionist, all of those horrific people who screech and scream and when God puts in a candidate. I'm telling you, that doesn't stop revival. But I tell you what will, if you can't talk to your brother and sister, and people fall out with each other, and churches split, and reputations are besmirched, and Satan comes in a church quick when there is a lack of forgiveness. And you and I need to forgive because he forgave us, the atonement. And number two, because we don't want the devil to have an advantage. Listen, we can't be to the place where we don't speak to one another, shake hands with one another. One sits on one side, one sits on the other. That's called unforgiveness. I promise you, I have seen it. You have seen it. We've all seen it. And worst of all, we rarely see it in ourselves. Holding grudges. Setting ways to get back at people, making yourself look good while others look down or look worse. We've got to understand that Satan will get an advantage over us. Say amen. Amen. And I've seen Satan get an advantage over a lot of Christians, over a lot of silly stuff. Silly stuff. Somebody didn't shake their hand. The church voted for a color carpet, and they voted for another color carpet. Amen. They didn't get their way. You know, sometimes the church, that's why I don't like a lot of voting in church, because a lot of times votes, when you vote, one side's going to lose and the other side's going to win. And right there you have a division. And the Bible says, is Christ divided? Now, there's some things we should vote on. Oh, Lord, you're getting so quiet out here tonight. Boy, I have waited on out. Amen. Waited on out. November 4th, we need to vote. Thank you, brother, for rescuing me. Amen. I got out of that. Thank you, my brother. My brother Ray. Hallelujah. My right-hand man. Don't forget to vote in the elections. Amen. Amen. But there's some things church should come to fight, get an expression of the people and see the consensus, because it does say it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is this: if the vote doesn't go your way, then you need to just praise God anyway. If the vote goes your way, you know, praise God for it. If it doesn't, praise God for it. We don't not want Satan to get an advantage over us. Somebody shout amen. Oh, I don't want the devil to get advantage over us. I want to get an advantage over him. I want to tear down his strongholds. I want to be the church militant and the church triumphant. I don't want to be the Achan with the sin in the camp and kept the whole thing from going. I want to extend mercy and forgive. I want to err on the side of forgiveness. I want to err on the side of mercy and grace. Can you say amen? And not only, and this goes to the next point, not only should we forgive because of the atonement of Christ and because of the advantage of Satan, but because forgiveness, because it advances the kingdom. That's what I'm trying to get to. You want to see a revival hit some churches is when two sisters that hadn't spoke to each other in a long time, they begin to speak to one another and make things right. I'll tell you, it's heaven come down and glory. You want to see the Lord really work. You want to see the kingdom of God advance and souls saved and lives changed. Then extend the mercy and the grace and forgiveness of God in your life to others. And I tell you, it'll advance. And there is nothing that can stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're together, when we love one another, when we serve one another, when there's no big I's or little U's, when we stand level at the foot of the cross, when we bow in adoration at him, when we ask one another, how can I serve you? When we forgive because Christ has forgiven us, I'll tell you, there is nothing that can stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I have been in churches and preached in many churches, and you can feel the tension in the air because of unforgiveness. And I've been in some churches where you walk in the door and you felt the presence of the Lord. There's a difference. Can you say amen? Which church you think is going to advance the kingdom? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, you don't go to work and talk about problems in the church. I've seen that happen. The secretary go to work, and on Monday morning, a secretary on the job, not church secretary. Dear Father, help me. But I'm just saying, I've heard it got back to me. People go to work, and it come back to me that on their job, they were telling their coworkers that somebody didn't do them right, and the church was this and church was that. And I'm like, well, what a terrible witness. That's no way to get people involved in church. You know what you need to tell them when you go to work on Monday? Boy, the Lord was moving, and somebody got the Holy Ghost, and somebody's neck was popped into shape. And I tell you what, God was in the house, and God is moving. Come on down. You can't imagine, you can't believe it. And if there is a problem in the church, you don't need to let them know it. I didn't air my dirty laundry to the family places I'd go. How's your family doing? I didn't tell them, well, you know, my cousin did this, and my second cousin's in jail again. You know, I didn't do all that. I said, we're doing great, and God's going to help us. Can I get an amen? Amen. We'll see the sick healed. We'll see the church doubled. We'll see a old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. When we experience the grace of God and when we extend the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a witness we are on the job when someone does us wrong and we show the forgiveness of, man, I can't believe that. Yeah, I can't either. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. You know what? God is sovereign in your life. And nobody, the Bible says he suffered the God suffered them that no one could do them harm. And if you'll love the Lord and walk with the Lord, he didn't say there wouldn't be test and tribulation and people rising up against you. You just forgive, hold your peace, you do what's right, and I'll tell you, time will go by and you will be promoted and exalted because you chose. You chose, despite how you felt, you chose to forgive. How many of you would do that tonight? I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. Well, Pastor, get ready to come, and I'm going to play the piano, but I want to close with a great story from the Civil War. And I read about Robert E. Lee, and I've mentioned this before, and there's some people here that's not heard it, but Robert E. Lee, the great general in the Civil War, he went, you know, after that the war was over and the South had lost, and he was visiting a woman in Kentucky. And this woman was so filled with bitterness over the war. And she took General Lee out to the yard, and she showed him a great old tree that had been in her front yard. The limbs had been fragmented and broken by the Northern artillery. There was that grotesque-looking tree there, and once had been beautiful. And she brought General Lee out and to see the tree and to see what those Union soldiers had done, and she was expecting him to give her some sympathy. She said, "General, what do you think about that?" The great general said, "Madam, cut it down and forget it." Give him a praise here tonight. Amen. Cut it down and forget.
Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said it earlier, "We want his mind." And when Jesus cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," when he did that, the old dispensation, the doors to it were slammed shut. And the new dispensation of grace, it was opened up. Had not Jesus forgiven those that were killing him, had he not cried those words, then the Father could not have raised him from the dead. Because Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He was made sin with our sin. He didn't sin, but he's bearing our sins. And the dispensation of grace, when that opened up, a streak of God's glory hit this earth. And from that day to this, because Jesus forgave, anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they can find complete and full forgiveness through the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Ricky made a statement. Magnify the good when you talk about things.
Yes.
I want us to sing that song, "Oh, Magnify the Lord," because I thought how true that is. You know, "Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised." And if you talk the negative, you just hold yourself in bondage. But when you learn to forgive and to look on the sunny side of life, the S-O-N-N-Y, look on the sun, when you choose to do that, You begin to magnify him. All of a sudden, your problems just melt away. Let's stand and sing this song. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Oh, magnify the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Hosanna.
Oh, blessed be the rock. Brother Blue. Blessed Brother
be
Blue.
The rock of my salvation. Let's bring it up to you.
Oh, magnify the Lord.
Oh, now he is worthy to be praised.
Oh, magnify the Lord. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.